You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Daisy. We interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firm. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin Daisy, and I'm your host. And I span the globe looking for the best guests in the world. And I think I found the number one guest today. Elise, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, appreciate you joining me. We've spoken a few times. I follow you, and you're doing some great stuff, and just excited to have you share today your kind of unique story and background and your approach to running a law practice and your leadership styles. And so we'll be talking about a little bit of those things and remote work and culture and how do you manage all that, especially if you have a remote company. So that's what we'll get into today. But of course, I like to start out by making sure the audience knows who you are and here's a little backstory on yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm Elise Bowie and I run a family law firm in Seattle. Like you said, we are remote. So, you know, we do have an office in downtown Seattle, but we do our darndest never to walk in it. And so we have a remote team of probably about 45 people all over the place. I am originally from New Orleans, one of those people that evacuated with Hurricane Katrina, and recently just bought a house back in New Orleans. So I'm super excited. I've been renovating that, and we will spend, you know, probably a half of the year in New Orleans and a half out here in the Pacific Northwest. We now call ourselves Rainbirds. So we're going to avoid the rain of the Pacific Northwest and Heatbirds. We're going to avoid the heat of New Orleans summer. So I have this goal of spending 365 days a year in good weather. And so we're super psyched. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. And to any law firm owners out there that have not gone that route, going from two different places, he doesn't have to go to the office. Sounds great, doesn't it? So great episode to listen to if you're the opposite of that and think it's not possible. Very cool story. And 45, I mean, family law, it's, you know, firms I see don't usually get too much more than a handful of folks. So impressive to say the least. Yeah. Well, just, you know, tell me, you know, more about when did you kind of make those decisions or were you always remote or, you know, tell me what that was like and kind of where you, how you got to where you're at going, hey, I'm going to live where I want to live and travel where I want and we don't need to go in the office at all if we don't need to.
Yeah. Interestingly, I did start remote when I started this firm. So in 2015, I had gotten remarried. And so my husband and I together, we have a big brood of six. They're now young adults, you know, but at the time they were, you know, younger kids in school and stuff. It was really important to me to be able to be a really good mom. I mean, you know, with six, it's a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Just keeping up with all the stuff.
I got two, so I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, truly. A lot of people don't, I think. But, you know, I mean, I was the football mom, the lacrosse mom. You know, I did all kinds of things related to my kids, president of the swim team. And so it was, I couldn't be sitting in an office every day from 8 to 6. Like, that was just not even my life. And so when I started the firm, it was very important to me to open a practice that really was focused on women. I mean, you know, selfishly, that, you know, allowed moms to be the best mom they could be and also the best lawyer they could be. And so, you know, we started obviously really small, just with a couple of us. And we've grown consistently ever since. I mean, COVID was a massive growth spurt. So when COVID started, I mean, I think we had 7 people on our team. And then we grew to actually over 50. And then we've pulled down some last year. I just felt like we had some misaligned folks. And I'm a big, huge believer in culture and making sure we're all really aligned and just, you know, rowing in the same direction with the same goals in mind. And so having a remote culture has been important because my husband had a job that required him to travel all over the world. And so when we got married, you know, I mean, I think in that first year, we probably went international like 3 times. And I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, okay, this is, you know, definitely not a sit in the office kind of life I have. You know, I just felt like starting a remote firm would allow me to be the best wife, the best mom, and the best lawyer because, you know, I was able to do my work whenever, wherever, and really utilize my own energy and my own rhythm of work. I tend to be a super early morning person. I get the best work done from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. Not a lot of people want to be in the office from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m., but I mean, I can pump out some quality work from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. But ask me to do quality work at, you know, 5 p.m. in the evening, that is not my best time.
So, yeah, done at that point.
Yeah.
I'm same way. Same thing is if you had to be the office at 4, you have to get ready before that and then commute. And so you're up at, you know, 3 in the morning. So it's just not possible. No, I 100% agree with you. But yeah, by the time 5 rolls around, I'm done because I've been up
exactly
early, go to the gym, start working. We're remote for the most part, although we have an office and we have a few people. I'm at it today, but it's not mandatory. And it's some people just like to come in and that's cool. But most of my team is around the country.
Right.
And I don't know how many states, but California to Florida to right. It's all over the place. So it allows us to find the best people.
Yep.
With the best talent. And so it's just opened things up for us. And COVID just, like you said, COVID just kind of reaffirmed it and kind of put it on steroids, if you will. We always have the capability. But, you know, we're in a marketing agency. Seems right. A little bit more normal. But for a law firm center, it's like, hey, no, you have to be in an office. You have to be dressed up every day. It's still a pretty big norm out there.
It is. And I see a lot of law firms now demanding that their people come back to work. And I also see resumes I get regularly from people who are like, yeah, I'm not going back there, you know, and they're like, and so it's been interesting. I think for me, I do consulting with law firm owners as well. And, you know, really getting into the back end of a lot of law firms. And I mean, probably the biggest problem I see is an inability to hire. And it is fascinating to me the difference between a remote firm's ability to hire versus an in-office firm's ability to hire. I mean, it's all anecdotal in the sense that I haven't done some, you know, evidence-based research, but it's pretty clear, you know, that if you offer some flexibility to your team, you have a much easier time hiring excellent talent.
Absolutely. Well, again, we've done it, and I could say the same thing. It's been excellent. We have amazing team. We're on calls every day, and we trust everyone that's on the team. But that goes back to culture, and having a good culture, establishing a good culture, you shouldn't be worried about remote work. If you're worried about people and trusting them, then you're already on the wrong page.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You're already screwed, basically. So here's the thing, too, about the culture thing is if you're having a hard time finding people, when you have an awesome culture and it just oozes everywhere, no problem finding people at all, right? When they interact with your team, they see it and feel it right away. They haven't even like made it through like the interviews yet. So it's just like when you have a good culture, everything is easier and better.
100%. My favorite referrals are when we have an attorney who is working with an opposing counsel and they'll reach out and they'll be like, yeah, when this case is over, that opposing counsel wants to come work here, you know? And it's so that I find to be really interesting.
That's excellent. That's awesome. Yeah, that speaks volumes for sure. And I think it's easy to just talk, like use the word culture or say have a good culture. That's a different thing to create a good culture. It's hard. It's like you can't really design it. I think it's a hard thing to nail down sometimes for folks. If you can get to the place where you have a good culture, like you said, you went to like 50 some people and then you're like, wait a minute, you know, there's some folks here that they're not a fit. And I think when you have a good culture and you have a great team, they weed those people out, or they at least point them out and say, wait a minute, there's something different here. And then it makes it really clear for you to say, hey, yeah, something is different here. They're not a fit.
Yeah, I think really bringing on people 100% related to, you know, core value alignment And then similarly, whether somebody stays on your team, you know, really relates to that core value alignment. And skills, I mean, while they're important, so many skills can be taught, but boy, can you not teach core value alignment? Like, I mean, that is just either it's there or it's not there.
Yeah, you cannot force that. You cannot teach that. You cannot train that. We do everything to our core values. I mean, on a daily basis. We do kudos. I've mentioned this on the show before, but we have a kudos system with Slack and Zapier that creates points, and each team member can kudos a team member with a core value. So it's like a hashtag transparency, right? And they get points, and then the winners get bonuses each month, and the quarterly winners get these really cool, like, handmade glass, like, trophies, and they're mentioned in our company meetings, and then that all goes to their annual review.
Right.
Like, hey, you know, what core values have you, like, really crushed this year, and what ones that you weren't getting points for? And it's all team, you know, it's peer. Like, me and my business partner, we can't get points. We don't get bonuses for it. So the team is giving them to right. the members of the team. That's worked out really good for us, but they were just worked into everything that we do. And years ago, we just thought it was this kind of foo-foo-y, dumb kind of thing that no one needs to have.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people think that. And I think they have a lot of stress in their lives because of not realizing the importance of it. And I mean, I had somebody recently ask me, they were like, well, how do you deal with, you know, this problem and this person? And I was like, actually, I don't have that problem, you know, right now. But I was like, you know, it clearly could come up. But I was like, you know, I would have a relationship with that person. And they were like, well, what do you mean you have a relationship with all the people? And I was like, yeah, like, you know, actually having a caring personal relationship with all the people on my team. And so we got into this discussion around, well, what does that look like if it's remote? And how do you do that? And I'm like, I just have conversations, like, either I'm getting on Zoom, sometimes I'm on a phone, sometimes I'm on Slack, I could be on text. I mean, you know, whatever is the form of communication that works for that person. And in the context of our relationship, we're just going to be having an ongoing thing without regard to the office. You know, it's going to be like, how's your house building coming? You know, how's your child's, you know, soccer season going? Whatever it is. Just having that allows, I think, our team to really just function better.
Yeah, it was a direct line of communication to leadership versus like this wall of like, don't speak to that person. And and if you do happen to be called to, this can be bad news probably, or, you know. Well, you know, who wants to work for a place like that stressed out? Like, holy crap, you know?
I mean, we talk about that a lot, though. It's scary for people. I mean, we have attorneys who come to our office and I'll be like, oh, you know, let's hop on a Zoom or whatever. And they'll get on and they're like, what did I do wrong? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you asking that? And they're like, oh my gosh, I've never had, you know, my employer want to hop on a Zoom and just chat with me about, you know, nothing. And I was like, oh, I'm like, okay, well, you know, get used to that, because we're going to chat and learn about each other, and it doesn't mean anything bad has happened, you know, but being sensitive to that. I mean, I've had to learn, like, I need to let people know, like, there's nothing bad, you know, and it's all good. Because people do, I think, come to work with, you know, a lot of their past experiences, and it can be almost like PTSD-ish for people.
Oh, I'm sure. I started on my own and when I was 23. So I had a little exposure to some corporate world, but I quickly was like, this isn't for me. So, but yeah, it's like, you can't tell like an employee, like on Friday, like message them and say, hey, let's talk on Monday, and then leave it like that. Oh man. You know, it's like, what do they want? I don't know. Yeah. So if you're listening and your workplace or your firm is, you know, where you're not able to talk to some of the younger folks or all the employees, or it's weird, or you're just protecting yourself. Maybe you got, you know, lines of executives underneath you, who knows, but that's just not good. You know, and I know as you get bigger, it's definitely more challenging, I would say.
Oh, For sure. I mean, it takes up more time, but I think you just have to be intentional about it. And I mean, I just really try to pay attention in Slack. And, you know, like, let's say I see somebody who's been sick for a few days. I'm going to reach out and check in and see how they're doing and make sure they don't need anything. Or maybe I'm going to send them a bouquet of flowers, you know, and be like, I hope this cheers you up as you're sneezing, you know, for 2 days or whatever. But yeah, just being intentional. 100%. And I mean, I, you know, just caring about somebody. I mean, I shouldn't use curse words, but I mean, just actually giving a, you know what, about people and just yeah, count for
100%. Something. So people know this, but Ray Digital's, you know, we do law firm marketing, but we technically have three companies that me and my partner have, and we have about, I think we're at 45 or 46 people. And so it's definitely unique in our situation, but maybe like you having three different law firms that don't technically talk to each other a lot. So it's like a little bit more difficult right. to manage. But yeah, when you get to that size, it's, you know, more time. But we'll have someone that's like, yeah, this new person just started yesterday. I'm like, I've not even met them yet. Like, you know, so it's, I'm not part of that whole process. So that's definitely interesting and weird. But I'm like, hey, but I want to meet them, you know, like at least give me 20 minutes to talk to them, you know. So try to batch that in and talk to the people that have been hired. I don't want to slow down the process, but I still feel really weird if I don't get to meet yeah. new employees that have started. So
I'm the same way. We do it in onboarding. We have an onboarding schedule, and I am always, you know, built into that schedule as one of the first people they meet so that, you know, we can have a deeper conversation about core values and just, you know, about kind of what makes them tick. I do still meet everybody who comes on my team. I say that everybody is a stretch. I mean, I've had a couple lately, but mostly I do that end 15-minute meeting with people. I have my, what I call my anti-Eeyore meeting, because I can't have Eeyores on my team. I'm not really good with working with, you know, people. Negative people are not my jam mm-hmm. at all, you know, and that was kind of something we learned over the years that, you know, we got some people in. And when I start really avoiding the having that personal relationship, I realize I'm like, okay, we got a problem here, you know, because I tend to be real yeah. positive and I like to work with positive problem solving kind of people who are just, you know, more creative and like, yeah, we can do this. We'll figure it out. You know, we got this, rather than the, yeah, this is how it's always been done. Like, you know, I'm just like, okay, no, we are not the, this is how it's always been done kind of place. So yeah. So my anti-Eeyore meetings, they go really well and they're quick, and it's just, it allows me to really keep us, I think, aligned in a way that at least makes me happy so that, you know, I can have a good relationship with the people on my team.
And they appreciate that. And it sounds like, you know, the feedback you got was like, wow, we've never, right. you know, the owner or the whoever the managing partner has never met with me before. So yeah, that definitely says something about what you've been doing. And we do the same thing here, and I get the same feedback. And I like that with the positive thinking, positive people, because if you're avoiding them, they're still around all your other team members all day. And
exactly.
that's just negative. Like, that's going to, I like to say this a lot, starts to erode your culture.
Oh, big right? time.
You get that C player, that terrorist, they call it, on like in the book yeah. Traction and stuff like that. It's like where they might do good work, but they're always causing problems and people don't really like them, and they stick around for a long time. You know, you just don't notice it. Like, there's the biggest problem in your company.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, you can start really telling when you're having conversations in your leadership team about an employee like multiple times. It's like, wait a minute, there is some problem here. You know, is it a core value problem? Is it a coaching problem on our end? Is it expectation? You know, but really we have to yeah. turn that mirror on ourselves as leaders and ask ourselves like, okay, what's the deal here? And then, you know, really be able to make a decision quickly, like, and, you know, dig in and coach and try to help and support. And then if that doesn't work, be able to manage them out successfully so they can go be successful elsewhere.
Yeah, and sometimes that's the best decision for both them and you. And sometimes they don't know that until after the fact. But yeah, I used to say either coaching up or coaching out.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I do think that is such a big thing, though, that we have to learn in this journey, or at least I did. I mean, I was probably slow on the uptake, but just learning to be able to peacefully coach somebody out, knowing that it is truly not a good fit, you know, on either side of the coin. And that says nothing about either of us in the sense of, I mean, they will likely go to their next place and be just an A-plus employee doing, you know, whatever their gig is and in a place that they're culturally aligned. And it's been interesting over the years to see, I have several past employees who I am still close with. I mean, they come out to my property here, they'll bring their families, and you know, people are like, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, well, it's not that weird. Like, it's kind of okay. Like, just because they were not culturally aligned at our firm, that doesn't mean I don't enjoy their company or, you know, we can't maintain friendly relations. Yeah, it's been really interesting, that whole journey in this process.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I have the same experience. And I know lots of ex-employees that I know personally, see all the time, they're friends of mine that have their own companies, or, you know, it is how it's going to happen. And I think the other side is not just the I had lots of ones that were cultural fits, but then they wanted to go do something bigger and better.
Completely.
And you can't hold those people down. And actually, Matt, who's helping with our podcast editing today, he worked with us and he went and started his own company.
I love that.
I had another gentleman back in the day, interning, we offered him full time, and we did like these assessments, like personal assessments, and
yeah,
we were using I forgot which one it was, but we had a coach that was kind of like an implementer, and he was like, "Hey, who is this person?" I'm like, "Oh, that's a new guy. He's an intern," and they're like, "This guy's off the charts. Like, you better keep him busy and promote him because this person's not going to stay here," and we were like, That's crazy. And like a few months later, we offered him all this stuff, and he was like, "Nope, I'm going to start my own agency. I'm going to move here." And yeah, he just had a whole thing planned out. So, and he's very successful today, and we talk to him all the time. And
I love that.
It's exciting to see him grow. So,
those assessments are wildly powerful. I mean, utilizing assessments in your hiring and in your team building. Like, to look at who's working with who and how their strengths align, I find those to be very powerful.
Well, it sounds like we subscribe to the same types of things.
Yeah, so, it does.
And we're totally different kinds of businesses. And that's why, you know, my podcast is not about marketing, because I own a marketing company. It's about running a business. And whether it's a law firm business, I mean, that's the focus of the audience. But it's the same. Could be running Apple, or a marketing company, or a law firm based out of Seattle. All these lessons and things that I've done, or Lisa's done, you know, it's real. Like, and it works, and it can make your life a lot better, and your team's life a lot better if you'll implement some of these things. So,
yeah, definitely way less stressful. I mean, back in the day when I was I didn't understand the leadership role to the extent I do now and really understand my participation in all the problems and, you know, really learning about how I had to make personal improvements just pretty constantly to be able to stop making the same problems over and over again. That was a very stressful time. Whereas now I find, you know, being able to be less defensive about things, just truly bringing no ego into the room and really being open to like lay all the feedback on me. You know what I mean? Like, give it all. And like, I'm going to just be thrilled that I have the feedback so that we can, you know, make improvements. It's so much less stressful. I mean, it is night and day different.
Yeah, and it's great that you can have a team that would give you feedback and not be worried to give it to you.
Oh,
so, you know, I love again, that says a lot right there. So
we are a feedback kind of crazy company. That's actually one of our main KPIs for our team, is that everybody has to give and request feedback every week.
Oh, wow. I like that.
We're a super intense feedback business. I just think feedback is really, really helpful. And I think it creates, it normalizes those crucial conversations that need to happen. It's funny. This is so geographical. This is literally my New Orleans self infusing into the Pacific Northwest. Because in New Orleans, we tell people whatever we think. We just say what we mean. We might slap on a bless your heart at the end just to make it sound nicer, you know, but we're just going to say what we mean. Whereas here in the Pacific Northwest, it is much more reserved. And I noticed that I was like, ooh, I do not do so great with these reserve types that do not just say what they need to say. They're all walking around a little bit on eggshells. So I was like, yeah, this is not going to work for me. So we became very feedback focused. And it's kind of funny because I'm watching people on my team really develop their muscle on being able to have like constructive conflict, you know, like actually bring conflicting ideas to the table, talk about them, work them out. I mean, and maybe not work them out, maybe, you know, agree to disagree at the end, but be able to discuss them and really hear the other person. I kind of think that's important. And so, yeah, feedback is, I think, it's a gift in all ways.
Yeah. So I agree. And I think you use what you said is normalize it. And there's the book, is it Five Dysfunctions of a Team?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Which it talks about constructive conflict. So it sounds crazy. But the thing is about, you know, think about if your team just didn't have this until they just blow up and there's arguments and crazy, like versus, hey, we're always going to, you know, give each other feedback and then it becomes normal. And then there's no big situations that come from it.
Exactly.
Not to mention all the value from the feedback that can be implemented on a regular basis. So to me, that's one of the shortcuts to business right there. Hiring someone or a coach, getting a mentor that's done it before, and doing exactly what you're saying. Constant feedback and change and implementing new ideas and doing that. And then that leads to just a good culture because they're like, wow, this is different. I want to be here. I want to be part of this. And you're going to attract the best and you're going to detract the ones that want to just kind of skate by and not participate.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that is something I find we repel are people who are not kind of like change agents, you know, people who are not really willing to try something, fail, iterate, try it again. You know, I mean, I'm always like, let's just go ahead and do it and fail quicker. Like, let's not, you know, wait around for, you know.
We're going to fail anyway.
I mean, long-term planned fail. Let's just go, you know, track the data, tweak and go again.
I love that. I don't like to wait around for stuff.
Me either.
So
me
like either. We have all these ideas like, why haven't we done this yet? You know, sometimes you can get, you know, analysis paralysis and planning too much and it doesn't ever hit the ground. I have people tell me, hey, I want to start a podcast, but I think we can start it like in about maybe next year. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, just I'll send you a mic and $100 and get StreamYard or whatever this is, Riverside, the reason, and just start recording because you're going to suck and you're not going to like your voice and you're not going to like anything and you'll be better the next day.
Exactly. It's funny though, I have definitely gotten feedback through the years that, you know, I have had to heed that I will say, oh, this project will be like, you know, this 30 minutes. And they're like, Elise, that's about a 3-week thing. And they're all be like, well, that's a month. And they're like, that's about a 6-month project. So I have to have like a person to, you know, kind of balance me because I'm like, oh yeah, that's no big deal. We'll be able to do that. And my team is like, no, that is not exactly how long it's going to take. It's a cute idea and everything. But I always think there's that almost like a tug of war between, you know, the speed and alacrity that I want things to happen versus sometimes the reality. But then other times there's that, you know, like you mentioned, that analysis paralysis. And it's like trying to get to a, I like to get to a little bit right of the middle. So we're at least moving a little bit faster than average. Yeah, it's always a thing. But I have to say that ties into delegation, because I think if I'm asking to do something and somebody's like, well, it's going to take this long, I'm like, is it actually going to take that long? Or is this just a capacity issue? And do I just need to find another who to do this? Because if I want it done like tomorrow, can we make that happen actually time-wise?
Yeah. And that's hilarious. That's basically me. I'm a vision guy.
Yeah.
And my team would be laughing. So, but yeah, I'm like, oh, do this and this and that. Yeah. But getting it done and organizing it and keeping me on track to actually help do it is a different story.
A whole different story. I think we should do a podcast on visionaries with likely undiagnosed ADHD. I think there's a lot of us out there.
I think so. I'm definitely one of them, for sure.
Me too.
I think I'm self-diagnosed.
Definitely self-diagnosed.
But I think that we got through a whole episode today without going off on too many crazy tangents.
Well, that's impressive. Did pretty good. Yeah.
Well, at least I really love what you've had to share. And, you know, but I think we share a lot of commonalities in how we do things. So I definitely appreciate that. And I guess just to ask, is there anything else you want to share with the guests listening out there before we wrap it up?
No, just thank you. And thanks for having me on your podcast. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully a lot of people get a lot of value. I mean, from what you're doing and kind of your lifestyle and the things you're able to do, but also have an awesome team and a great culture and not be as stressed and still growing. And then again, living where you want to live and doing all those things. So I think it's hopefully an eye opener for some, and hopefully they'll reach out to you, connect with Elise. If you want to get a hold of her, she'll be tagged in this episode on our post, but you can also reach out to me and I can do an intro. And if you have questions, if you're a law firm owner, you said you're coaching some. I don't know if you're opening that up or if that's kind of cherry picked, but if you are considering that, you can definitely learn a lot from her. So I encourage that.
Thanks, Kevin. I hope you have a great day.
You as well. Well, everyone, thank you so much. Take the lessons you learned from Elise and apply them to your firm. And we hope all the success to you. So we'll talk to you later. See you soon. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.